Good morning. It's 11:06 here at News Radio 1580 WCCF. And it's time for the Dr. Triana Show, brought to you by the Triana Center for Hormone Balance. They're located at 3155 Harbor Boulevard, Suite 100, Port Charlotte, Florida. And you can call them at 625-1990. Once again, that's 625-1990. This is a live medical talk show. We encourage you to call in at any point during the show at 206-1580, toll-free 888-441-1580. And now, our hostess of the program, Dr. Elizabeth Triana.
And good morning, everybody. Good morning. Oh, my goodness, it's a rainy day, and it's getting nice and cold. I should be home, snuggled up with my little Dachshunds. Oh, I just love those little dogs so much. But today we have a wonderful show. We have a beautiful lady, not only beautifully in, but out. She has a great heart. Carol Katz, she's been here before. I'm going to say good morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Dr. Triana, Betsy.
Good morning. Yes, I know my audience knows that many people call me Betsy, and that's because I grew up here. Carol, talk to us about your background.
Well, I am a psychotherapist. I have my master's degree in addiction counseling, and I've been in private practice for probably about 16 years, and for about 10 years before that, I worked in different treatment modalities for addictions.
That's wonderful.
So I not only see people with addictions, I see people also for anxiety, stress, depression, relationships, communication, whatever they need to see a therapist for, really. But my specialty is addictions.
Well, we had planned a wonderful pre-holiday show with Carol. And unfortunately, she had a family event, which she was unable to come to the show. So I told her, I know that we have gone past the holidays, but many of the major holidays, not that there's not holidays always coming up, a lot of the same major life events that bring people together, like weddings, like funerals, birthdays, or other holidays, there's certain expectations that we have or feelings that get brought up during this time. And I thought it would be good, even though we're not in the major holiday, to bring up some of those issues. Mm-hmm. What say you, Carol?
Well, like you said, we were supposed to talk about things like stressors during the holidays, of which there are many for many people. And some of them were sadness around the holidays. A lot of people think about joy in the holidays. And we have a holiday coming up of Valentine's Day,
yes,
which isn't, I guess, so official, but it's official. And even something like Valentine's Day could be a stressor because there are a lot of people out there that don't have someone special in their life. So for those people, there's a lot of sadness that would go with a holiday that's supposed to be joyful. And just like the major holidays, let's say Easter or Passover, Hanukkah or Christmas, New Year's, various holidays where people want closeness and they may not have it in their life. So I think often about people in those situations during holiday times because, you know, it is sad if you don't have someone in your life. And
so what would be the best way to cope with that? I mean, what pearls in medicine we call pearls, like what would be the best thing to do for that situation? What would you recommend?
Well, I would recommend trying to be with friends if you don't have a particular person in your life, a significant other, to be with friends or family. and also to focus on what there is in your life that you do have rather than what you don't have.
That's good.
Because a lot of times people, I guess you could say, get on the pity pot. And really, when you break a person's life down, there's so much to be grateful for. The list is long, even though it doesn't feel long during certain times in a person's life. So I think that would be important, to see what there is in our life to be grateful for on any given day. I think it helps to improve our mental state.
Which we've always said that your mental health, your spiritual health, your sexual health are equally as important as your physical health. And that's why I try to bring different guests to the show to remind us of that. And you work, I know, a lot on mental health, and also you're also gifted in with the spiritual health.
And also what happens a lot of times for people that are more isolated in their life is that they turn sometimes to alcohol or drugs or abusing other things.
Food,
gambling, shopping. You know, I really believe abuse of something or even abuse of another person or addiction comes from a void within oneself. So we want to fill the void. And that void comes up stronger during holiday times. So we have to be careful, how are we filling the void? And again, I think breaking it down and seeing what there is in our life to be grateful for during those times when we want to feel sorry for ourselves is very important to do.
So do you think that, like I've read in some, if you make a list, write things down, because sometimes when you write things down, it kind of puts a permanency to it. You can touch it, you can see it. You write down all the good things that, like you said, that you have in your life.
I often suggest to my patients to write a gratitude list. And a lot of times they'll come up with three things. And I'll say, okay, add five more. And they'll be like, well, what do you mean? I just can't even get beyond three. And I'll break it down for them sometimes just to show them how much we have to be grateful for. Like, as an example, I have two legs to walk. I have vision.
Right.
I have hearing. I have two arms. You know, these are significant things. There are people that don't have those things whose lives are really difficult because of that.
So you're saying that a lot of people will fill that emptiness with things that are harmful or maybe not good for them, like drugs, alcohol, food, to remove that feeling.
Correct. Harmful in that, I mean, we all need food, and right. I'm not saying to drink alcohol is a bad thing, because I think anything in moderation, not illicit drugs, but if you drink or eat in moderation, it's not an unhealthy thing. But people tend to do it in excess when they want to fill the void inside of them, or the loneliness. You know, loneliness or boredom even is a big contributor for people abusing, I don't want to say abusing other things, but it's really abusing oneself.
Really, because they're really hurting themselves.
We're harming, right. A person harms themselves to try and take away the feelings they don't want to feel. So they replace them with other harmful feelings.
If anyone has a question, this is a great time to call 206-1580. If you have any questions, any medical questions, any questions you want to ask Carol. A lot of our audience are older, and I think one of the things that they feel sometimes is, and I hear this from patients, is that their children or their grandchildren are just too busy to come and either see them, they have their lives, or even sometime, and even during the holidays, or a special holiday. I hear that a lot from my patients who are older. They're just too busy. What do you tell these people?
That's a hard situation, because I think a lot of times it's up to the parent to show a child what's important and that family is important. And unfortunately, a lot of times that doesn't happen. Kids get busy with friends, especially during school breaks. They get busy with friends, and family gets put on the back burner. And it's difficult, because if the parents aren't raising their children to respect the elders,
right,
then those children are going to grow up not to to respect the elders, or to be considerate and thoughtful or caring toward elders, family members. And unfortunately, you know, we have to accept situations as they are, even though we don't like them or we want them to be different. It's really about accepting this is how people are, how family members are, and there's probably little we could do to change that.
Well, I remember growing up that, and one thing is, you're right, having your parents, you know, make sure you get together with that grandparent and spend time, because, you know.
And there wasn't an option.
No.
It was like, we're going to see grandma.
Right. And we're going to like, eat with them.
Do you, what do you think? Do you want to see grandma, or do you want to have dinner with your grandparents? No, it's, we're going to do this. So I think that parents empower young children too much to make significant choices.
But when I was younger and we did that, when I got older, I wanted to spend time with my grandmother, because she read poetry, she knew music, and I would go and visit her by myself when I was older and I could drive. But when we were younger, I remember visiting her here, visiting her in New York, and we spent time. And it's kind of like, I guess it's nowadays everybody's so busy, maybe you just have to make a date, make a time, and stick to that time.
And also, you know, what are we busy with? You know, people more and more take pride in being so busy, but is so busy so good?
No.
I actually personally like not being busy. When I have a busy week, I just want to stay home and not have something on my schedule. And so for me personally, I don't take pride in being busy. I think quiet time is important for people. And again, what do we busy ourselves with? I mean, there's a million things you could fill your time with. But again, what are our priorities?
Well, I would think, again, from a family perspective, that your relatives, your family, your grandparents, because guess what? They're not going to be there forever.
Right.
No one's going to be here forever. Mm-hmm. And having that time, that interaction, learning about your family roots, your feelings. So we shouldn't, what I'm trying to say is, we started out talking about, you know, holidays, and some people think they only get together during the holidays. Well, if you only get together during the holidays, you're not really getting to know that other person on another level. You're only seeing them when there's a million people, or everybody's stressed, or maybe there's very high expectations.
Right. So there's maybe, no real conversation to speak to that person.
So maybe planning other times to get together mm-hmm. Would be good for your mental, spiritual health to get to know your family.
Yes, you can try to do that. But again, it's about priorities. What do the other people want to do with their time? And, you know, do they, even if it's not a holiday, do they still want to spend it with family? Usually, kids particularly prefer to spend it with friends in their spare time rather than, you know, see a grandparent, which is sad.
Right. So, we have a caller. Hi, caller.
Good morning. My name is Elliot. I have a question for Carol.
Hi, Elliot.
Good morning, Elliot.
Good morning to you both. I love your show. You're doing a very good service. I would like to ask the guest that you have, what is the right way to deal with a family that's semi-dysfunctional, and when they do come together for various holidays, be it Christmas or New Year's or Easter or Passover or Valentine's Day, that there is a tension because of the dysfunctionality of members of the family? What is the best way to handle that?
That's a great question. Thank you for calling, Elliot.
Okay, you're welcome.
It is a great question, and the one person we have power over is ourselves. So if a family comes together and there's tension between family members, we have to see, how do we deal with our own inner tension or our own inner stress in that situation? And maybe to be even more loving toward the people that we're around. Because if we are around people that are, you know, dysfunctional in whatever way they're dysfunctional or unhappy or stressed for whatever reasons they are, then one, it's not personal, because no matter what a person says to another about the other person, it's really them. You know, there's a saying, if you point one finger out, three are pointing back at you. So people don't really like to take responsibility for their own actions. They like to point the finger. They like to blame other people. They like to put their angry emotions on other people instead of looking at themselves. So when you're around people like that, I think it's really important. Okay, how am I inwardly? What do I have to do to make myself okay being around people that are stressed, tense, angry? And again, be loving, even if it's not a situation where you can express it. Because
what if you really don't like that person?
Well,
and you can't stand them.
A lot of times when families come together, they're not liking each other. But again, if it's a family event where you have to be together, then how am I inside? Okay. How am I internally dealing with the situation? How can I accept that person and inwardly even feel compassion for that person? That I don't believe any angry person or super stressed person isn't hurting inside. They're a hurt person. You know, there's also a saying, hurt people like to hurt people.
Oh.
Because they want to relieve themselves of their hurt. So they hurt someone else. And so it goes on and on and on. So if we could stop it so that we don't hurt back, then on some level it's breaking that cycle. And we're also more okay and peaceful within ourselves to forgive. Because if a family is dysfunctional, We really don't have power over that, except just how we're relating to them.
Yeah, that's like everything. We only have power over our own health, mm-hmm. how we deal with things.
But a lot of times people, you know, like to play the victim. And when they play the victim, they want to point their fingers to other people to blame for their lot in life. And as long as people do that, then there'll never be change in that person. Because if I'm pointing the finger at you, then how am I going to change? I'm saying it's your responsibility. Well, if it's your response, you're not responsible for my change.
No, and it, sometimes I feel that because I'll have patients come in and like they have diabetes and they have this hopeless and helpless feeling. Like I'll talk to them about food and carbohydrates and sugar, and every time it's like it's a new word, sugar.
Right.
And they don't want to really listen, and they don't want to pay attention. They don't want. I'll say read this book. They don't want to read a book. They don't want to read anything on the internet about diabetes. And for me as a doctor to take care of them, you know, I'm like trying to do everything I can to spark that interest in themselves.
They just want it to disappear.
And then they get upset with me because, well, you're the one giving me these bad numbers. I said, your blood sugar is high. And they look at me like, you know, like if I put it in their blood sometimes.
Right. Like, what, you know, not taking responsibility for what they're doing to create it.
Right. And me, I'm trying to, let's see, what can I do to spark, which we're going to take a little break, and we need to talk about resolutions, too.
Another morning where you just drag yourself out of bed after hitting the snooze button 5 times. Now you're driving to work. It's like a zombie. That lack of energy and poor sleep every night is just one sign that your hormones may be out of whack. Time to get them back in balance with Bio-T. Both men and women need testosterone and suffer without it. And all you need is a quick little test. My testosterone was too low, my estrogen too high, and it meant that I was just foggy and irritable every day until I learned about Bio-T Medical. Bio-T is all natural. It's not synthetic. It's not those shots or messy creams that you hear a lot about. With Bio-T, all you need, 2-3 treatments a year as opposed to painful shots that you're getting every week. Come out of the fog, feel youthful again, get that libido back up, feel happy, even maintain your weight loss.
Hi, this is Dr. Elizabeth Triana. Let me balance your hormones with Bio-T. Call me at 941-625-1990. For your appointment.
It's 1129 here at News Radio 1580 WCCF. Don't forget our phone number, 206-1580, or toll free at 888-441-1580. And now it's back to Dr. Elizabeth Triana and her special guest, Carol Katz.
Yes, and we have a guest. And I want to thank everybody for listening and remind them that on the 12th, we're going to have the Maestro Ponti is going to be our guest. So I'm excited. That's the Friday before Valentine's.
He's such a nice man.
Yes. And again, I want to thank Dr. Dulaney, who was on the show and spoke about her plant-based diet and how important. And then they're having that big conference tomorrow. And I know tomorrow night is the Care Ball, which is going to be a big event for Charlotte County. And they do so much benefit for so many people in the community. Mm. And so today we have psychotherapist Carol Katz, who has a wealth of experience. And she's just bringing up some wonderful things about not just the big holidays, but holidays throughout the year. Mm-hmm. You wanted to mention something about goodbyes?
Goodbye. Well, really, it's about appreciating the people in your life. And we were talking about family relationships and stress sometimes between family members and how people like to blame other people for their problems, for their issues. Kids like to blame parents many times.
Right.
I had a patient that was 85 and he was still blaming his parents.
At 85?
At 85. I mean, they were long gone, obviously, but he was still holding on to resentments toward his parents. And the thing is that I want to say is that we may have problems or issues from childhood, from parents. But as adults, there are issues. We own them. So it's important to really own them and realize, what am I going to do about these issues that are mine as an adult? Because it's up to me now. It's not about the parent anymore. These are your issues. They're not your parents' issues. They're your issues. And until a person really owns those issues, they're never going to change and they're always going to be the victim. They could point the finger however much they want at a parent or parents, but their own issues or unhappiness is never going to change until they truly own it and say, okay, what can I do about this? This is mine. And then there's freedom.
Well, that's a great pearl right there. Own your feelings and your resentments. And what can you do about it?
Right.
Hello, caller.
Hi, good morning. This is Elliot. I have a follow-up to my original question.
Yes, Elliot. Thank you for calling.
Okay. I would like to know how aggressive or thoroughly involved I should become when you have a situation where you have siblings that do not get along and some of them have not learned how to bury the hatchet, whether it's for a party or a family function, and just be civil to each other. And I'm afraid that if I become too aggressive, I will be labeled as a busybody and not realizing that times have changed. You talked before about you went to visit your grandmother and it was pride and pleasure to do that. Nowadays, I think that the telephone has taken the place of grandma. So to take our issues and try to see if we can solve them by getting these people together, is that wrong?
I don't think it's wrong to try that.
Thank you, Elliot.
Thank you. Good question. But again, we only have power over ourselves. You could bring people together, but if your motive is to try and change other people, it's probably not going to happen. And to speak to people about who they are or how they are or what they've done, I know a lot of times I want to do that with family members, and I don't. The rare times I have, the results were negative because people don't want to hear about their stuff. They don't want to, or rarely, own it. Again, most people want to point the finger out that it's someone else's fault, because very few people out there really want to work on themselves. They want you to work on you, but they don't want to work on themselves. So to get people together, unless it's under clinical supervision, then, you know, to resolve some family dysfunction, you have to have very willing participants coming into it, all with the same purpose.
Well, what about getting people, like you said, the same purpose? Sometimes people, if they have a goal, one goal, to do something together. Mm-hmm. And, you know, nobody ever gets along all the time with the other person, even with spouses.
Mm-hmm.
There's times. But if you look more on the good than the bad,
right,
and try to set aside, I guess, you know what I mean?
I think that, like you said, nobody likes everybody all the time.
Right.
But people have to learn to look at the greater good, the greater purpose.
The family.
And, if people can't put their stuff aside for a greater good, then, you know, what are they really doing? How are they living internally in themselves? you know, what's home plate for them? That
they're too egocentric. They only think about themselves.
And it's also very controlling, because when a person doesn't want to reach out or help to make things better, there's a certain power people think in that over other people. But it's a negative power. It's not a positive power. So, you know, if there's a common goal up front in getting together to resolve things, I think that's great. That's half the battle, is the willingness of people to speak about what's bothering them, and the willingness of other people to listen to it.
Right. And but at the same time, to know, like Zane, you were saying, you always felt good that you said goodbye.
And I never really did say goodbye. In fact, I told both my mom and my dad, I don't believe in the word goodbye. I believe in until we meet again. That's what I told them. But I did get to say I love you that one last time. So for me, that's something money can't buy, and it will enable me to live the rest of my life in peace.
Right.
And families too, because you may be upset with a family member today, or your father or your mother or your sister or your brother, but you know what? That person's not going to be here forever.
Right.
And to me, to think that once that person is gone, I would think that the pain of regret hurts more than the pain of trying to resolve what the issue is. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely. But again, a lot of people may not even have that regret if they feel justified in their position of resentment or anger toward another person. They feel justified, so regret won't come into the picture, sadly.
But they won't feel regret later on in life.
Well, it depends on the internal work they do with themselves, you know, for themselves. But some people are just very rooted in resentment and anger, and they don't let that go to actually enter the heart chakra and feel the love that can be there between people. It's a choice. People have a choice at any given moment. You know, what attitude do I want to have? How do I want to feel? Do I want to feel anger? Or do I want to feel love? Or if I feel anger, you know, do I want to sit in anger, or do I want to switch it to love? You know, sometimes I get angry, but like in the next moment, I'm back to coming to my heart chakra, my heart center, because I don't want to sit in that. I may get angry, but I don't want to sit in anger.
You've recognized that that's a choice.
It's a choice. Yeah. Absolutely.
Your mind, you have a choice.
Because, you know, first there's a thought, then there's a feeling, and then there's an action. So if I want to change my feelings about something or someone, I have to pay attention to how am I thinking about that to create the feelings I'm having. Sometimes the thought is very split second, but there's still a thought that's creating these feelings. What do I want to change? What do I need to change?
Which is really, really hard when everybody at the beginning of the year, people make these resolutions.
I didn't make one this year. I kind of forgot about resolutions.
You know, people make, it's the new year, resolutions. And then we go, and you know, it's almost going to be February around the corner in a week or so. And people will come up to you, go, how many resolutions did you make and break?
Mm-hmm. Right. And how do you feel about yourself? I'm glad I didn't make a resolution this year. Because, you know, in the past, usually it's around dieting. So, you know, that'll last about half a day. So do I want to you know, we have to be realistic about our resolutions, because we can say, okay, oh, I want to be like this or look like this. But realistic as far as what am I really willing to do to get there? And if I'm not really willing to take the steps to get there, then I'm setting myself up to just feel worse about myself for failing when I haven't truly tried.
Right.
Oftentimes I'll say, oh, you know, I keep dieting and I don't lose weight. But am I really dieting? I don't think so.
Well, I have patients and I have issues with food. And I have patients who come to me and they literally say, I don't understand why I'm overweight because I eat nothing. I go, you have to eat something.
Mm-hmm.
You don't keep your body mass on air.
Mm-hmm.
I wish it was so, but it isn't so. They go, I really don't eat anything. And I, you know, that's when I tell them, well, write it down.
Right.
Make a food diary. Because in order to weigh whatever you weigh, your body needs food. And so you've got to be eating something.
In our household, we say calories in, calories out. You know, if you're ingesting a certain amount of calories and you're sedentary, you're not going to lose weight. If you're ingesting calories and you are active, you're either going to maintain or lose some weight.
So with the resolutions...
Unless you have a thyroid problem or some other issue going on.
Right, right. Well, I'm talking about if you have no other medical issues and if you're healthy and... But
there are all sorts of resolutions we make with ourselves. Not only around food.
Right.
Just, you know, various
exercise.
Things. Exercise, how we spend our money.
Right.
How we treat others. How we treat ourselves.
So maybe one way to make a plan to help keep resolutions, again, you said steps. Maybe write down what are the steps that I need to get from point A to point B.
Right. I think it's good to write things down, and we can see it in black and white. It's not just something floating around our heads. We see it, and we say, okay, this is what I have to do. Like sometimes I'll rip out sheets from a magazine of certain exercises because if I think, oh, I got to do these exercises, but then I don't see them in front of me. Even seeing them in front of me sometimes makes it hard to still do because the strong commitment isn't there. But collecting things to get to the commitment are also steps.
Right.
So let's say we don't bring, if your issue is food, we don't bring foods into our house that we know are going to be tempting.
Right. They do that. You're supposed to clean out your refrigerator, your pantry, look for things that you might be tempted by.
Right. So, you know, there are steps anyone could take to work toward, to walking down the path toward whatever goal it is we want to achieve. I mean, if you want to be a carpenter or if you want to be a doctor, you have to do the education and
the
do
steps.
The internship and practice.
There's steps to get to your goal. Sometimes people, though, they, like you said, the first of the year, they make too many goals. And maybe they didn't make a plan of action.
And then we set ourselves up for disappointment in ourselves. And then how do we feel when we're disappointed in ourselves? Typically, when we are, then we're going to maybe indulge in something that's not so healthy for ourselves. Because we're feeling lousy about ourselves anyway, so why not feel a little more lousy? And, you know, it
just throw that chocolate.
Becomes a vicious cycle.
So if anybody has a question, we're going to take one more little break, and I'll talk and give them the numbers.
Okay, guys, listen up. You feel like a 70-year-old man in a 45-year-old body, can't work out like you used to. Maybe your testosterone is low. You know, testosterone is the dipstick of men's health. Levels decline after 30, accelerated by a variety of environmental chemicals that can convert the reduced testosterone you are producing to estrogen. That's the female hormone, and not good. You can change all that at the Triana Center for Hormone Balance. There, your hormones are measured, a thorough physical done, and a program to restore your hormone balance is laid out for you. Bioidentical hormone pellets are inserted beneath the skin every 4 to 5 months by a certified BioT physician. 15 minutes and you're on your way to feeling better, having more energy, improved muscle tone, and renewed interest in your sex partner. Yay! Still not convinced? Go to the BioT website. That is BioTEmedical.com. Then call 625-1990 for an appointment that will change your life.
Hi, this is Dr. Elizabeth Triana. Let me balance your hormones with BioT. Call me at 941-625-1990 for your appointment.
It's 11:47, and now it's back to the Dr. Triana Show.
And this is Dr. Elizabeth Triana. And listen, if anybody has a question about a medical question, you want to ask a question to our psychotherapist. We're really lucky to have Carol Katz. She's been a guest before. She has so much insight and training. Give us a call at 206-1580 or 888-441-1580. As you know, I'm Dr. Elizabeth Triana. I'm a primary care physician, and my office is on Harbor Boulevard. If you have a question, you can also email me at AskDrTriana at TrianaPreventionCenter.com or call my office at 941-625-1990. But right now we have Carol Katz. And Carol, you know, you were talking, and you know, I know there's a saying, it's called the devil is in the details. Well, it is, in even in relationships, it's in the details. If you have a family member, for example, who's getting an award or is playing in a concert, when you do those little things to just go there and be supportive, that's in the details of a mm-hmm. relationship.
Mm-hmm.
It's the little details that add up and build trust and build relationships, correct?
Absolutely. But you have to be given the opportunity, too, to do that. You know, a lot of times you want to, but, you know, people don't tell other people things that are happening. So then you don't know to participate in something. So people need to inform each other. Well, you know, if I can't go today, maybe I can go next week.
Right.
You know, keep the information open between people and family members. And, you know, I wanted to share also that because so many, I mean, we're all children. No matter how old we are, we're someone's child. And unfortunately, many children do blame parents for things or have anger and resentment toward parents for so many different reasons. Or they feel the parents didn't do enough or what they did wasn't right. And for me personally, one of the most freeing things that I experienced when I was younger, but as an adult, was to realize that my mother or my father, this was a woman who really had her own issues in life, aside from being my mother.
Right.
She was a woman, an individual, or my father was a man, an individual, aside from being my father. This was a human being, like I'm a human being. I mean, it sounds simple, but a lot of times we don't separate the person from the role that they are in our life. And I believe that...
That's a very good point.
Most people do their best. We always feel, oh, you know, my parent should have done something different or they didn't do their best. But most of the time, if a person could do better, they do. And if they didn't do better according to you, then maybe they couldn't. You know, some people grow up in poor families, but they want, maybe the child wants more material things.
Right.
But if the parent can't provide it, they can't provide it. If they could, they would. But then that child will hold a resentment against a parent for not providing. But, you know, I think for the most part, not everybody, because we know there are some...
Not nice people out
not
there.
Not cruel people out there. But I think people generally try to do their best. But to see a person, aside from the role they play in your life, just as another human being.
Who has their own issues and problems and hurts.
And background, you know, their own life. So.
That's a good point. You were to say
something? Last time I checked, being there for your kids and hugging them and loving them doesn't cost anything.
Yes. And saying I love you.
Yeah. I know. I think a lot of times people don't say, they'll say love you, but really it's do I love you?
Mm.
And to family members especially, to say, look, I really love you. I'm here for you. You know, maybe you can't always be there for the people, but just to say I'm here for you.
When you hear love ya, that to me sounds like something acquaintances say to one another. You know, people that aren't, you know, kind of like coworkers or just like a level one friend, I call it, you know. Someone that's just, you know, I love you, but I don't really love you.
You guys have a great sign on the bulletin board in this room that says, may God grant others the wisdom to let me control them. A lot of people are like that.
Hello, caller. Caller?
Hi, this is Elliot. I just want to tell you that this show was so thoroughly enjoyable and so helpful in my ongoing relationship with my family that I just want to thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. You know, I love doing the show, and I love having all the different guests, and it's so wonderful to have... Carol, to have you on the show, too, to give us all your love and wisdom.
It's always great being here.
You have a lot
It's a great show that you provide for the public because it's so diverse with all your guests.
Thank you. I really enjoy doing it. And I totally feel this is so important because if you could just spark in one human being out there, obviously Elliot was listening, to think, wow, I got something out of this. There's just one little thought. Maybe I need to call up my mother, my father, my sister and say, hi, how are you today?
Mm-hmm.
What's happening? What's going on in your life?
Right.
And it'll make you feel better. And how good that stress, to take away the stress of feeling of resentment or hate or to take that off. Like you said, get rid of that, those feelings. It's so much good for your health.
But it's also important that if the other person doesn't respond back, not to take it personally.
Right.
Because stuff is not personal. Each person owns their own stuff. Whether it's their anger, their joy, it's theirs. People like to put it on other people, but it's theirs. So if someone doesn't respond back to you, again, it's important not to take it personally because it's not about you. It's about them. It's theirs. But we forget that.
And yes,
we get hurt and disappointed and angry and resentful and all those great emotions. And really, it's not about us. People want to make it about us, like, let me control you. You know?
But sometimes people's feelings do get hurt. And especially in family members where, like we said, everybody's around the table or everybody's in a house at the same time. And there's a lot of expectations that... you know, every holiday should look like a movie.
Right.
And I'm a big movie buff.
But, you know, we all have our ways of responding to things.
Right.
You know, a friend of mine once told me, step on someone's foot and see how they respond. So you could step on someone's foot and someone will say, oh, wow, that really hurt. And you could step on someone's foot and they may punch you. Right?
Right.
You're getting different reactions to the same action. So how we react to things is really our responsibility. How someone else reacts to things is their responsibility.
That's a very good analogy.
So we don't have to own their reactions and take it personally. It's theirs.
And, you know, you're a therapist and you work with people. I work with people. And every day you have to think that, because sometimes when you work with people every day, which I love to do, sometimes, you know, I get a little like frustrated when I will say something over and over again and the person doesn't listen mm-hmm. or want to listen or want to care about their own health. And again, like I said, if there was something I could, and I'll even tell people I don't have the magic wand.
But, you know, a professor of mine in college said to the class once, he said, when you are trying harder than the patient, then it's time to back off. Because if you care more about the patient than they care about themselves, it's like throwing pearls before swine. Really? It's you're wasting your energy. They need to care about themselves. Because if they don't care about themselves, it doesn't matter if the whole universe cares about them. It's not going to help.
Well, but it's nice when you can spark an interest in a patient or like our radio audience.
If they allow you to.
Yeah. And or like our radio show, we'll get callers. Some days we get a lot of callers. Sometimes we don't. But most of the time I'll run into people and they'll say, oh, I listened to your show. It's really good. And I said, call. And they go, no, I didn't want to call. But our time is gone so quickly.
People get shy.
People get shy.
That's
so
okay.
Carol, we want to thank you so much for coming today. We did talk about holiday and holiday stress. And Carol Katz, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Zane. This is Dr. Elizabeth Triana. Listen in every Friday to the Dr. Triana Show. Stay healthy and God bless.